love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Who doesn't want more of these characteristics in their lives? Join us for this 9-week series exploring the fruit of the Spirit as we take a look into the book of Galatians and explore how God's Word teaches us to grow deeper in each of these virtues and why we should.
Good morning, church. So good to be with you this morning. We are in a series, The Fruit of the Spirit, and we are making our way right through. We're going to be talking about faithfulness this morning. For those of you who haven't been here or maybe you haven't gotten the notes, if you want a copy of the outline, it's out at the information desk. You can get it. There are some fill-ins. If you want to do that, you can step out and get that anytime. But before I talk about faithfulness, I want to talk about faith for just a second because I want to make sure we understand the difference between faith and faithfulness. And part of the reason for this is if you are reading a King James Bible, when you read Galatians 5, 22, 23, your Bible probably says faith in the place where most other translations say faithfulness. Okay? So let's just talk a bit, just to be clear, let's just differentiate the two. Faith is our trust in God, okay? And when we speak about faith, we're normally talking about our trust in God for the forgiveness of our sins based on what Jesus Christ has done for us, his death on the cross, and we put our faith in him, and we are forgiven for our sins. This is a verse for you to memorize. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So that's faith, is putting our trust in God for our salvation. It's our trust in what Jesus Christ has done for us. And this verse says that's a grace that we have received from God. It's a gift that none of us can earn, none of us can demand of God, or none of us can achieve on our own. God offers that to us, and he says, "Put your faith in my son Jesus," and it says, "You will be saved." Faithfulness is related to that, of course, but it's a little bit different. It is our trust in God, but it's the way we live out our faith, okay? So that's what we're talking about in Galatians 5, 22, 23, when it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Faithfulness in those verses refers to the way we live out our faith in God. And that's our faith in our relationship with God. It's our faithfulness in relationship to others. It's even faithfulness in relationship to our own beliefs and how we see the world through Christ's eyes and the way that we live that out. So that's what we're talking about in this regard. I want to start with this verse, and this is going to sound really, or not a verse, but it's a quote from Max Lucado, and I like this, and I'm starting with this for a particular reason. He says, "Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To these I commit my day." To these I commit my day. In other words, he's saying, you know, every day I wake up, and this is what I want my life to be about. This is how I want my life to look in the world. This is the way I want to live out my life in relationship to those I come in contact with, in relationship to my work, in relationship to my family, in relationship to my God. I want my life to reflect these 9 things. And I would encourage you to memorize these 9 fruit of the Spirit. It's not hard. You can do this. And you know, listen, no excuses. Age is not an excuse, okay? I mean, we got some folks here that are approaching 100 years old. I'll bet they would tell you, you can still learn, right? I'm looking right at you, Chet. Can you still learn at your age? Absolutely. You know, I love to pick on Chet because he is, and he doesn't mind me doing this, I've asked him. He's 94, right? 5? I missed one. He's 95, and he shows up almost every Monday night to our discipleship class and reads and studies and interacts, and he's learning. And we have others in the Everett, too, and others. So listen, age is not a barrier, okay? on the upper end, it's also not, well, I guess there's a certain lower end that's a barrier, right? But there's a certain age, even at the lower end, where you can memorize. And I want to encourage you to memorize the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm going to have you go through it with me out loud. There's nine of them. Do them in triplets. That's how I learn them, and it's an easy way to learn them. So it's three groups of three, right? So there they are. They are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Thank you. I want you to memorize those, and I want you to think about them often. And that's the purpose of memorizing them. Think about them often. Think about them, like Max Lucado says, on a daily basis, and commit your life to these. This is the way God is growing you up in Christ. If you are a Christian, if you are in Christ, God wants you to look like this more and more and more, and He will do it. How do we know He'll do it? Because God is faithful. God is always faithful to this. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. Paul says, here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with Him, he's talking about dying with Christ, dying our old nature, dying, okay, putting that old nature to death. We no longer live according to the old sinful nature. That is died. That has died. If we died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we disown Him, He will also disown us. God will not force you into relationship with Himself. If you look at God, if you say to God, I want nothing to do with you, I don't want any part of you, I don't want you in my life, I don't want to follow you, God will not force you into relationship. And that's what this verse is saying. He will disown us. He will allow us to walk away from Him if we choose to do that. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. It's one of God's essential attributes to be faithful. If God cannot be faithless. He cannot be faithless any more than He can be unholy or unloving or unrighteous or unjust. He cannot be, because faithfulness is part of what it means to be God. This is an essential attribute of God's. Okay? So you can count on God. You can count on God. You know, and I say that and I think, wow. What about when the tragic things happen in our life? What about when 11 people are murdered by somebody? They were counting on God, weren't they? Maybe they don't understand God the way they... Maybe that's it, right? They're not Christians. And that's why God... No, that's not true. Christians suffer tragedy on the same order and worse, right? Is God unfaithful at those times? Has God let us down? No. We can't blame God for the evil actions of evil people in the world. You see, we just saw, if we want to disown God, God lets us walk away. And when people walk away from God, sometimes those people do things that are atrocious. But that's not God's fault. That's not God being faithless. God is still faithful to us. And there will be justice. And it may not come in this lifetime, but it will come, guaranteed. God is going to bring things to a perfect end one day. He is faithful to do that. God is always faithful. Human beings are not. And this is why we suffer so much of what we suffer in this world. Because of the faithlessness of people, but not the faithlessness of God. The Bible says in Psalm 33, verse 4, the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love. Now, there's one thing I want to point out in here. Notice the relationship between faithfulness and love. We'll come back to that in a few minutes. Let me look at some verses with you that demonstrate or talk about what God's faithfulness is like. First in Exodus 34, 6, and I'm going to take the time to look these up. They're not going to come up on the screen, but I want to read them to you. They're not in the notes, but you can write down the references if you want. Or you can go on our app. We have an app that has all of these notes on it, and you can look these up. But in Exodus 34, 6, God is revealing Himself and who He is to Moses. And it says, God passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, talking about himself, describing himself to Moses. He says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger. Aren't you glad he's slow to anger? Abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. God is faithful. It's his nature to be faithful. God is faithful in various ways to us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, going almost to the other end, last part of the Bible, 1 John. John writes this. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, verse 9, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How is God faithful? God is faithful to forgive us when we sin. He forgives us when we sin. Aren't you glad God forgives you when you sin? Aren't you glad that when you sin, God doesn't say, that's it, I'm done, okay, oh, no more with them. All right, I gave them a chance, but they were imperfect, they sinned, and I'm done with them. God does not do that to us. The Bible says God is faithful to forgive us when we sin. You don't have to wonder if you're forgiven by God. When you sin, you confess your sin, you repent of your sin, God has already forgiven you if you are in Jesus Christ. You are already covered with the blood of Christ, you are already forgiven. And God applies that to forgiveness to you, and you can know that you are forgiven by God because he is faithful. He is not whimsical. He doesn't forgive you today and then tomorrow decide not to, and the day after that, maybe I'll forgive them, maybe I won't. That's not God's nature. He is faithful to always forgive us. Better than that, God is faithful to help us not sin in the first place. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. We read this. No temptation has overtaken you. When you experience temptation to sin, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. You see, we're all going to be tempted to sin. We all experience the temptation to sin. Jesus experienced the temptation to sin, but he did not sin. We experience the temptation to sin. And through Christ, God gives us the ability to not fall into sin. We don't have to move through the temptation into the sinful behavior. We don't have to do that. God will provide a way out. The Bible says he is faithful to do that. Our responsibility is to find that, you know, find what God has offered us, okay? To see the way out that God is offering to us and then to be obedient to that. Better than God forgiving our sin, better than God offering us a way out of temptation is this: God takes care of us and purifies us and promises to bring us to a righteous and holy place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says this: May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. Sanctify means make you holy and pure through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. God is faithful to purify you. Listen, God wants to remove all sinful temptation from your life. He wants to create you as a righteous and holy person. He already sees you as a righteous and holy person if you are in Christ. He sees you through Jesus as a righteous and holy person, and he is making that a reality in your life. Now, moment to moment, you may not see it. Moment to moment, you may think, there's nothing righteous in this life. There's nothing holy in this life. Not with the thoughts I just had. Not with the way I just spoke. But listen, God is doing this. If you're in Christ, God is doing it. It says he's faithful to bring that to completion. He will. You can trust him for that. God is a faithful God. God promises to bless those who are faithful, it says in Proverbs 28, verse 20. So if God is faithful, then it falls naturally that God is calling us to be faithful people as well. Why? Because faithfulness, first of all, is an inherent quality of love. Psalm 85:10 says, love and faithfulness meet together. They're two sides of the same coin. We saw love and faithfulness in an earlier verse. We'll see it again in other verses in the Bible. So love and faithfulness are two sides of the same coin. If you are not faithful to somebody, you are not loving them truly, right? If we're not faithful to somebody, we're not truly loving them. Some of you have experienced the pain of someone being faithless in their relationship to you. Some of you are going through that now. You know the pain and the hurt of that. For someone to say, I love you, and then be faithless towards you, is evidence that they're not loving you the way that God would want us to love. Okay? We're to be faithful and loving in our relationships as husbands and wives. Men, when you allow somebody to talk down about your wife, you're not being faithful to her. When you talk down about your spouse to somebody else, you're not being faithful to them. When you allow yourself to linger on images or ideas, imaginations that you know you should not be allowing yourself to linger on, you're not being faithful. When you flirt with somebody, you're not being faithful to your spouse. We're to love people, and love requires faithfulness to that relationship. It requires faithfulness in the parent and child relationship. Parents, we need to be faithful to our children. Faithful as models of what it means to be Christ-like. Models of what it means to love well. Models of what it means to worship God. Models of what it means to live out the fruit of the Spirit. That's being faithful to our children. Children, you're to be faithful to your parents. Faithfulness is obedience. It's listening to them, respecting them, being trustworthy. This is what faithfulness is. If you say you're going to be home at a certain time, you're home at a certain time. That's faithfulness. That's trustworthiness. It's reliability. So we're to be faithful in our relationships with one another. It's a reflection of love. We're to be faithful in the way that we use the gifts that God has given us. For 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Here's a beautiful idea. God pours his grace out on us, and then he asks us to go ahead and spread that grace to all the people around us. When we refuse to use the gifts that God has given us in loving ways to share God's grace with others, we're hindering the work of God through us. God has gifted us. He has poured his grace and love on us, and he says, now go and share that with other people. And Peter says we're to do that faithfully. We're to be faithful even when it costs us something. This is one of the ways that we know people really are faithful. Is because they're willing to keep their promises, keep their words, be honest, be reliable, even when it costs them something, even when it hurts, even when we, for example, don't understand why God didn't do something or allowed something to happen. We can still be faithful to God, even if it costs us that anxiety or that confusion or that concern. True faithfulness is faithfulness even when there's a price. Just going to pause for a second. We are going to be having baptisms in a little bit, and this is the time to go and get ready if you're going to be baptized. I invite you to go out into the lobby and prepare for that. Now I want to move into the last part of this message. If we're to be faithful people, how can we become more faithful? Let me just give you a few ways. And we'll go through these quickly. First of all, ask God to help you overcome doubt and trust him more. In Mark chapter 9, there's a man who has a very sick boy. And he goes to Jesus and he says to Jesus, heal my son. And Jesus says, I will. Do you believe? And the man says, I do. I believe. Help my unbelief. And I so resonate with that because I think his initial impulse is, yes, I believe, I believe, I believe, I want my son to be healed. But then he knows, no, honestly, in my heart, I got to tell you that there's a part of me that isn't sure this can really happen. And you know, the beautiful thing is Jesus doesn't condemn him for that. He doesn't condemn him for saying, help me to believe more. Jesus just, he goes ahead and he allows his son to be healed, okay, inviting this man to continue to grow in his belief and trust of Christ. So listen, if you have doubts and questions, if you don't understand everything that God is doing and what's happening, that's okay. Just acknowledge it and ask God. Turn that into prayer. That's what this is. Help me overcome my unbelief. This is how we grow in our faithfulness. Secondly, we grow in our faithfulness by spending time with others who have been or are being faithful. By have been, I mean, read the stories of those who have been faithful to God. read about their accounts. Read about, you know, there's some great stories about missionaries who have since gone on to be with the Lord, but they served faithfully for years in places that were hard and it cost them dearly, and they saw very little fruit from their labor, but they were faithful to serve God. Read those stories. Read the stories of people who are faithful. Read stories about people who are faithful in their marriages and learn from them. Look around you and ask, who are the people in my life who are models of faithfulness? And what can I learn from them? And spend more time with them and ask them questions and grow in your faithfulness. Psalm 101, verse 6, my eyes will be on the faithful in the land that they may dwell with me. In other words, live with me in my heart, and the one whose walk is blameless will minister to me. Thirdly, make the decision daily to live faithfully. We talked about this before. Proverbs says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. You know, the Jews had these things called phylacteries. Some still do. And they would write little verses in Hebrew and put them in these little boxes and tie it around their forehead. And it was a way of following their understanding of Deuteronomy 6 that says, you know, that we're to always be thinking about these things. And we don't, you don't have to do that, okay? You don't have to put scripture in a box and tie it around your forehead. It actually says in the proverb to write these things on the tablet of your heart. Okay, read scripture, pray, talk with God, and get this love and faithfulness deep in your heart so that it reflects who you are in Christ. Next thing, be faithful in small things and let your faithfulness grow large. Luke 16:10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Some people say, well, you know, I don't give anything to the church because I really don't have that much. If I made more money, then I'd give. You know, that's usually not the case. People who are faithful in giving are generally the people who start when they don't have much. And they give a little from what they have. And as they get more, they give more. They're faithful to that. You know, we can't wait to win, what is it, $460 million, right? Well, if I won the lottery, then sure, I'd give $46 million, my tithe, to the church. Good luck, he said. Yeah, I bet that check gets a little harder to write when you get down to it. But the point is, Jesus is saying we're to be faithful in the small things. You know, has God given you what you consider a small task? Be faithful in it. Be faithful in that. Perhaps God will use that to grow you to where he gives you a large task. We had a board staff retreat yesterday morning, and Dina Porterfield was here. She's the president of Roberts Wesleyan College, and she told us very briefly her story. She's now president of this college, but she started out as an admissions counselor at another college. Just an admissions counselor, just making contact with prospective students. And now I think she said it's been 26 years. Here she is 26 years later, and she's the president of the college. How do you do that? How's that happen? Well, it's by being faithful in the small things, doing them well, doing them reliably, consistently, being honest, doing your work well, and then rising. My mother, when I was about 12 years old, she gave me this belt buckle. It was about that big. It was a belt buckle that belonged to my dad, who died when I was 2. And I guess she felt like at 12, you know, maybe it was time to pass that buckle on to me. And I said, thanks. After, I don't know, a few weeks or so, I didn't know what I'd done with it. I couldn't find it. And then sometime later, and I don't remember exactly how I discovered this, but I discovered that my mom had taken it back. And I knew what had happened. She saw I couldn't be trusted with that. It was precious to her. It didn't mean that much to me at the moment. But she saw I couldn't be faithful to take care of it. And so she took it back. And I was sorry that I had let her down on that. But it's one of those lessons, you know, for me that made me realize I have to be faithful with the things that are brought before me. I have to be faithful with the things that God gives to me. Next, keep looking forward to God's commendation. Matthew 25:21, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. Notice, first of all, it doesn't say good and successful servant. God asks us to be faithful, not necessarily. We won't all achieve success, though we can all be faithful. Look forward to God's commendation. One day you'll stand before God, and you'll want to hear those words, well done, well done. You know, sometimes during the week, I think about you. This is true. I think about you. Not individually, one at a time, okay? But I think about you as the church here, knowing that I'm going to be coming in and we're going to be worshiping together. And, you know, that changes me because I feel I'm humbled by this. And I want to treat this the way that it ought to be treated. I want to be faithful to my call as one of your pastors. And so thinking about you and our time together, it helps me to live out that faithfulness. Think about the day when you are going to face Christ and what you want to hear from him. And let that motivate you. Let that change you and drive you forward in faithfulness. And then finally, trust in God's love for you, which never fails. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23 say, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." We sang that old hymn, "Great is your faithfulness." How many of you know anything about the book of Lamentations? You know what a lament is? It is a country song on steroids, okay? It really is. I mean, it's like, you know, everything that could go bad has gone horribly, horribly bad, okay? Jeremiah wrote Lamentations at a time when his nation was being overrun by the Babylonians. They were dissolving as a nation, actually. People were starving because of the war. People were starving to death. People were dying every day. Things were horrible. And when you read Lamentations, you get that over and over again. It's a lament. It's a sad song. But right in the middle of it are these verses. In the midst of all of this trouble, I know this. God is faithful. Great is your faithfulness. God is going to see us through this. God is going to bring this all one day to a beautiful end. I know that to be true. That's what I hang on to. I pray you're hanging on to that today. You know, the Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. We're rejoicing with the Keller family. We really are. We're rejoicing. God has done a wonderful thing in their life. Some of you are on the mourning side of things. You're struggling. Things are not going well. We mourn with you. But whether we rejoice or whether we mourn, we can know this. God is faithful. God is always faithful. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that every day you pour out grace on us. You give us strength. You walk with us through our trials. You bring blessings every day. Help us to live out that kind of faithfulness in our own lives. We can't do it on our own. We confess that to you right now. We fall short all the time. But we know with your help and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live it more faithfully. And we ask you to do that work in us in Jesus' name.